Welcome to Influential Entrepreneurs, bringing you interviews with elite business leaders and experts, sharing tips and strategies for elevating your business to the next level. Here's your host, Mike Saunders.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Influential Entrepreneurs. This is Mike Saunders, the Authority Positioning Coach. Today we have with us Charles Carrillo, who's the managing partner of Harborside Partners, and it's a real estate syndication firm. And he also hosts the Global Investors Podcast. Charles, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me on, Mike. It's an honor.
You're welcome. So get us started with your story. What's your background and how did you get into the real estate industry in the first place?
So I grew up in a real estate investment family. My dad bought his first apartment building in 1984. It was a 6-unit property. So I grew up in elementary school and middle school going with my dad to different properties, and him and his partner, they never did syndication, which is getting money from passive investors. They used their own money, and the 80s was much different in the 90s from today with lending and how everything works with that. So it was much different to acquire property back then than it is today. But he had a small team that he managed these properties with, and I guess you would say they weren't in the best of neighborhoods, and it was something that I didn't want to do. Getting out of college, my kind of mindset changed during college and at the end of high school. So when I start looking for properties, I bought a property, a 3-unit property, and this is all about 17 years ago. I just sold it last year, and what we call now is house hacking. So I lived in one of the units, and I rented the other ones out to friends at that point. It was a 3-family house, and my dad just made sure I was buying in better areas, and they were good areas, better areas, let's say, than his properties. But after selling those, we've really moved into better properties because I think that's the normal. I think many real estate investors, as they start in their journey, it really starts with properties that they kind of get wooed by some of the returns and numbers, and then they don't realize how hard it is or the operational part of it. They don't look into that. And after you've owned it for a few years, you realize, I got to buy better properties in better areas.
Yeah, that's a really good observation. Now, when you said your dad bought his first apartment building, what was the range of units? Was he buying 10 units, 100 units? What was his sweet spot there?
That was only 6 units, and that was years back. And I think I tried to find the price of what he paid. I think it was like $80,000 back then. So it was just, it wasn't in a great area. And it just was something that he was a teacher at the time, which he stayed for like another 4 years or so. He was an art/tech ed teacher at that point. So
since you kind of had that, I don't know what we want to call it, but like exposure, you always grew up in the business, but then you noticed like, oof, there's a lot of work in these kind of apartment buildings. Did you shy away from that when you started building your portfolio and you didn't get into multifamily apartment buildings? Or did you go, you know what? The reason that he, might've struggled was location and this and operations and management. So I'm going to do it a little bit differently. And so have you found yourself buying larger apartment buildings, but doing it differently?
Yeah, over the last several years. So I bought properties, and I'm originally from Connecticut, and that's where these properties are, in a small town outside of Hartford. And, I bought them, and I started buying in 06, I bought in 08, I was buying in 2009. I self-managed them all, which was a lot of work back then. They were smaller. There were like 3 units. There were some 5 units mixed use with some, we call it mixed use, where there's people have always seen it in like a town center, city center, where there's commercial in the bottom, whether it's an office, whether it's retail, a restaurant, and then there's around it and above it, there is residential. I wanted to say that I was smart enough in my 20s to buy better properties, but I would have bought a lot worse if my father wasn't there telling me to buy better properties. But once moving out of that, and once he sold off his portfolio with partners and stuff like this, and I started looking, and it's been a regular progression over the last decade of really getting into better properties. And you can make money in all different types of properties in real estate. It just, as you get lower and lower, there's less buyers and there's less upside, let's say. You can make cash flow on them, but there's less upside. And realizing, once I start hanging around a lot more mentors and more sophisticated investors, that you need to have cash flow is great. We love cash flow, but we need to have that mix of appreciation. We need to have that buyer pool. So it is, there is liquidity in all parts of the market if you want to sell it.
Yep. And you just got to know where to look. And I love on your website where you come to the homepage and you just are faced with passive real estate investing for busy professionals and entrepreneurs like you. And I would suspect that rings true to so many people, because it's like, I always read the Rich Dad Poor Dad. I always hear that real estate's the deal, but I don't have the time. I don't have the expertise, and I don't have the time to learn the lessons by making the mistakes that you have to make. So, wow, you know, invest with us. That sounds good. So that makes me think this. Is it you're teaching business professionals and entrepreneurs how to do it and how to avoid the problems? Or is it like, hey, we've vetted these properties. Come on with us. We're going to put our money in. You should too.
It's more of the B, the latter part, where it's more of that we're going to be investing in properties in areas. I'm based in South Florida right now. I've been here since 2012, and it's something that we invest throughout the whole Southeast, and we kind of go as far over as, I guess you'd say, Oklahoma and Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Dallas, and we're all the way up into Atlanta, all the way down to Tampa. And in these areas, we have aligned ourselves over the last decade with great operators that we work with, and we assist them with closing on the deals and running the deal to make it profitable for ourselves and for our investors, most importantly.
So then you guys are scouting out, getting great deals, and then investors that come in are putting in cash that then helps to fund those deals. And then the rate of return is based on the performance that you have estimated and make sure that it delivers.
That's correct. Yes. And, you know, over the last few years, we've been very lucky to exceed our returns. I doubt that's going to be for the next 5 years. Exactly. The returns aren't going to be the same. But it is an asset class that, with our inflation not going anywhere and people looking to diversify out of stock markets and now banks, it's something that it's a very interesting time. And we saw this, you know, similar in 2008. And I look back on it, I thought it was crazy buying stuff in 2008 and 2009. I was just too young. I didn't know. I mean, it was just my own money. And I was, but when I look back, those are fantastic investments, but you know, hindsight, right? I was probably too stupid to know that how dangerous stuff was going. When I talked to other people, and they're like, oh, we were taking money out of the bank and put it under our bed and 08 or something. When you talk to other people, it was crazy.
Well, you know, everything is cyclical. And like you mentioned about, well, we probably won't see the returns like we have. And well, we don't know that. And the returns that you are were experiencing might be because, you know, the formula was this way, but now it's going to change a little because of just markets. And that's not a bad thing. It's just something to recognize. So that makes me think of the question, what is your plan or blueprint? Like when you acquire a property and you say, hey, here's this project, we're going to, you know, invest in it. We're going to fix it up. We're going to rent it out, and we're going to hold it for, like, for instance, do you say this is this wonderful apartment building? We're going to hold it forever and a day and just live off the cash flow, and that's going to be our return. Or do you say we're going to project in 7 to 10 years of selling it and adding to our return by, you know, taking the profit from that?
Well, the having the cash flow and the distribution is great, and having that, making that 7 or 8% a year is fantastic. What we've found over the years is that when dealing with sophisticated investors, more sophisticated than your normal, what we'd call mom and pop investors, they first of all want to see the velocity of their capital. They want to see money in and they want to see money out. And that's, we found that with a lot of our investor base. And the other thing too is that we can maintain a much higher return on capital when we're doing holds for, you know, we always estimate 5 to 7 years, but over the last few years, it's been 3 to 5 and closer to that 3. And we're selling a property right now and it'll be 3 in July. So it's something that it is a, you know, you're working, and when you're talking to investors, you're getting an idea of what they want. And there's investors in all types of, there's investors that are, listen, I want to make 7% a year. I want to make 8% a year. There's some that, like, you know, hey, I don't need any money from this, but I want to, you know, I want to double my money in 7 years or whatever the number is, 5 years. They want to have like a large liquidity event in a shorter period of time. And so you have to keep all this together. And when you're showing deals to people, you'll see that some deals fit for some people and some don't. Some people have tax issues that they're trying to minimize through real estate. Some other people are just looking to have to make it so they can add an additional income stream through the retirement.
Yeah, and based on what the economy is doing and the real estate market is doing, like you said, you might hold it for 5 to 7, but oop, this might be this period of time might be 3 years, and it might move to who knows. But you're always gauging whether we're getting cash flow, making sure we're maximizing that cash flow, and whether we're going cash flow merged into let's sell it and take a chunk of cash, we're maximizing that. There's always ways to polish and improve, and like you know, Tony Robbins teaches Kanai, constant and never ending improvement, and I think that's the thing. And I'm sure you guys put your money where your mouth is and say, hey, we're buying into this property. We're putting our money in, come along with us. And that helps people realize that, okay, good. We're not just, you know, hawking, you know, give me your money and let's hope for the best. You guys are putting your back pocket in there as well.
Yeah, well, there's an alignment of interest always. And it's a very difficult, it's very different because when you're buying property by yourself, you have less, you're not worried about you. There's no investors, right? It's yourself. Yeah. You know what I mean? You make a mistake. And it's different when you have investors. And I remember we sold a property at the beginning of 2022. And I had one investor that was like, no, don't sell it. Don't sell it. He was like my oldest investor I've known for many years. And I was like, you know, we have to take the money off the table. And in hindsight, he's not complaining now. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's one of those things that, you know, you just only sucker sells at the top of the market. And it's something that you go through your business plan and you have to put that emotion aside. It's very difficult, even if a property is doing fantastic. And you can then, you know, realize the equity, realize the profit, distribute it to your investors, and then go on finding other deals.
Yep. So given the world we're in now with, you know, coming out of COVID times of everyone remote and virtual and all that. And, you know, it's kind of like, oh, that you mentioned the housing market crash of 2007, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, however long that spread out, right? It felt like a million years. There's always something. There's always some new little blip of something. But I think it's really interesting to see that the market has changed to where you can do these types of deals remotely. You don't need to go down to the county courthouse. You don't have to get this. You don't have to see the house. You don't have to be local to manage it. Talk a little bit about remote property or asset management. How have you guys conquered that and what benefits does that bring?
So when we're purchasing a property, there's two parts. So we always have a property management company that is, and these are larger complexes. I think we alluded to earlier on. The majority of these properties are 100 plus units. Over the last 3 years, we've been purchasing. So there's on-site management on the property. There's an office there. There's people in that office. There's handyman. There's lease administrator, stuff like this. And then you have the second part of it, which is asset management. And when we do it, we have a very strict, I guess you would say, process and of how we're doing this. And number one is that we need to have a partner that specializes in that market and with boots on the ground that we're going to partner with. And how that works is that they're going to be the one that's going to be doing, we'll do like due diligence walkthroughs initially, and we'll be on the property you know, every 2 or 3 months. And that's normally how we work it. But we have someone there that's literally there every week. And then while we're doing calls with property management every week, we're also our boots on the ground person is the one that's also going to be working with and meeting with our general contractors during the renovation process. So the remote asset management is not as difficult. You know, you're going to have a part that's going to be, you can do remote, but there's also a part, especially if you're having renovations, that has to be boots on the ground or should be boots on the ground. And that's number one for reviewing the property manager, making sure they're doing what they're supposed to do. And then number two is making sure that contractors are doing what they're supposed to when you're having these projects going on, units being renovated, you know, capital expenditures, you know, being done where you're doing roofs and you're doing stairways and porches and, you know, pool areas and common areas and amenities. And you need someone on the ground there. So it's one thing when we're myself or somebody from our team is on one of the weekly calls with the property manager. It's something where we can see what's going on. We can see numbers. We know what's got leased. We know everything on that side of it. But you have to have the other partner that's on the ground to make sure that we can, you know, we can be successful with the project by seeing exactly what's happening.
I think that's an interesting point. As you were describing that, it makes me think of like the psychological aspect of social media. And they always say, oh, you would never say that in person to someone. You probably wouldn't because you're hiding behind your computer and you're making a comment. Well, the same as what you described. Yeah, you could be on the weekly call and they can say, oh, yeah, we're all good, you know. Yay. But when you got boots on the ground as someone standing there with a clipboard or a tablet going, okay, we need to, what's the update on this and why haven't we? Then it's like, oh, that just became really real.
Right. Exactly. It's 100% true.
So how often are you guys looking for new projects? You know, do you have a certain number you always keep in the portfolio and then build on it when you can? Or are you watching like every quarter we must add X?
It's more of if something pencils, we're going to move forward with it, and we go through different stages. So usually what we'll do is properties, we'll be working with an operator partnering us that we're going to co-sponsor with a deal, and they'll send us deals that they're looking at, and they'll find stuff, they'll send us their underwriting. I'll send it out. We have two levels of underwriters that we work with. We have one that does like a very quick 25 to 35 minute overview. And then if it's something that we really want to move forward with, we have another underwriter that we'll work with that will do a 3 to 5 hour overview of it. Wow. And that's really checking all the numbers. And this is, you know, it's because I can provide that to an investor if they ask, if they have questions about something, I can show them the report I actually got from, you know, a third party underwriter. No one's paid any kind of commissions or all paid hourly. And that's the thing is that we can look at it. I can see it, make sure I'm not getting swayed because I have money burning hole in my pocket from a deal we just sold. You know what I mean? And you have to make sure that you can take as much emotion out of the deal as possible. But if something doesn't pencil, we don't do it. Like, so we had one holdover deal from 2021. We closed at the beginning of 2022. We had another deal we closed at the end of 2022. Right now in 2023, as we speak, we do not have anything under contract. You know what I mean? We are looking at different deals. We've been speaking to people. It's, you know, constant Zoom calls and, having phone calls with the seeing what we have going on and testing the appetite with our investors of what they're actually looking at. We'll send out like a quarterly poll and see kind of what property types they're looking at and what they need, you know, returns and what they need help with. And that's really how it is. When stuff comes around, we do it, and we don't have a set number that we have to keep in the portfolio. If something comes, a buyer comes, like we just have some that's under contract now, we weren't going to sell, and the buyer that we had sold the property to last year came to us and want to buy it like a block or two away. It was a fantastic price and it's going under contract next 48 hours.
Yeah.
It's just how it is. You drop something to your investors and tell them, listen, this is probably what's going to happen. We don't know. We'll let you know once we have something signed. And 60 days to close begins.
Yeah. So do you find that your investors that come alongside what you're doing, are they doing investments in smaller projects on their own first, going, you know, forget it, I'm either going to quit or I need to come alongside with you guys, or someone, a busy professional entrepreneur going, I want to get into real estate, I don't have the time, I love what you're doing, and let me come on board with you guys?
I would say it's like a 50-50. I have one investor that was, you know, he invested with us in one deal a couple of years back. He invested with us one last year. And then he was telling me, oh, I'm buying a duplex, I'm going to rent it out. It's similar to like my father now. He has some small condos that he rents out that he bought many years ago by where he lives in Florida with my parents. And it's something that he'll invest with us into other deals, into other markets, and it gives him exposure, but it doesn't give him the headaches.
Yeah.
But also I think it, he likes getting out of the house and dealing with contractors too. So it's a different, it's not just the income on the other part of it. It's really just almost like a hobby or something to keep him busy.
Yeah. He's on the other side where he's not the busy professional. He wants to have a little bit of, you know, skin in the game, roll up the sleeves and interaction. So it's kind of a little bit of best of both worlds there.
Right. And then we have some investors, I would say 50, 60% of them, somewhere around there, that are, listen, I don't want to talk to a tenant. I never want to hear from a tenant.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not even going to respond when you send me a monthly report. And it's like, hey, that's perfectly fine. You know what I mean? This is whatever you like to do. You're passive. And they just make sure they get their tax document in the beginning of the year. And that's it. We'll send them deals as we have them.
That is so awesome. Well, Charles, it's been great learning about what you guys are doing. If someone is interested in learning more about Harborside Partners, what's the best way they can do that and reach out and connect with you?
Yeah. So if you'd like to learn more about Harborside Partners, you can go to harborsidepartners.com. And we have if you're interested in passive investing, we have a free passive investing guide that you can download right online. And if you're interested in investing or learning more about that, you can also fill out a form for that. So everything's on harborsidepartners.com. I also have a podcast, and you can find all the links with our YouTube channel, everything right there, harborsidepartners.com.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for coming on today, Charles. It's been a real pleasure talking with you.
Thank you so much, Mike. Have a great rest of your day.
You've been listening to Influential Entrepreneurs with Mike Saunders. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show or listen to past episodes, visit www.influentialentrepreneursradio.com.